and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. My name's James Gilmore and I do unsolicited singing. Joining me this week is Peter Willington.
Hi!
And Keith Andrew.
Yeah, hello.
Ah, knew it. Could rely on Peter Willington for some backing vocals.
Still but, yeah. Taking in what was going on there, to be honest.
Hold on.
You're the drummer of this group. You're the, the rhythm section.
What do you mean backing vocals?
Well, you've got to have a front man, and therefore, by definition, surely...
No, I...
You could have jumped in at any point, Peter, but you came second. You were that echo bit. You're the guy who goes, like, bop shuada, bop shuada in the background.
No, not bop shuada, man.
Yes, you are. Deal with it. It's episode number 264, I think we're up to now. I should probably state that. And here we are again, talking about the mobile games. I don't know how long it's been since we've all been together. Were we all here last week? I can't remember. It seems like an age away.
No.
Keith was away again.
I was in Huddersfield. I was being glamorous.
Oh, yes, you were doing the... was it Uki or BAFTA? Or
it was Uki, yeah. It was. I was on a little panel to tell developers how they can how much they have to pay people like me to write about them, essentially.
I take it you fudged the numbers significantly so that you can say, well, it's several thousand, and then by a curve, we'll all get pay boosts.
Yeah. I said a cup of coffee and a jammy dodger.
See, this is the problem. People like you.
You're taking bribes at too low a level, Keith. Honestly, I always demand at least three different types of biscuit, let alone three biscuits.
Well, I'm just not that confident.
Nothing less than a cinnamon roll for me. Job. Yeah, and I think we're all going to be heading off next week, or at least some of us are, in a week or two, because it's GDC coming up, isn't it? The Games Developers Conference?
It's pronounced Gudica, actually.
Okay, Gudica. Fine.
What, are you guys going to that? Are you both going to that?
I'm not, but I didn't know if Keith was.
I am.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going, I'm not.
British Airways permitting.
Yeah. Yes, he's haggling with British Airways as we speak to get the name right on his ticket. Yeah. In fact, we're all going to go off and complain at people afterwards. Well, you two are anyway. I'm going to sit by myself and weep because my girlfriend's not here. And I'm all by myself. I've been on my own all week.
But you're complaining now, aren't you? So
that's true. I'm getting in my complaints live and early. Whereas Keith can whine at British Airways and you can complain at IKEA, can't you?
Yes.
At IKEA.
Other cheap furniture stores are well, they're not actually available at all, are they? Yeah, I'm going to go and shout at the Swedes.
Yeah.
That's close enough. Yep.
Swedes? Yeah, because do you know what? I'm going to vent my spleen now. I haven't got a couch and it's all their fault.
Sorry, I needed a spit take there. That's really sad.
I know.
How long have you not had a couch for, Peter?
3 months.
3 months? Really?
We haven't had a couch for like 3 months because we got rid of the old one because we thought, it's all right, we'll just get a new one really quickly. And then that went awry. So we're driving down to the local branch and we're going to give them what for. Probably after we've had some meatballs.
Are you gonna give it a jolly good robbing?
Yeah, basically.
So you just have to leave with a couch under your trench coat.
Yeah. That's the only way.
My office chair is from IKEA. It has a name. It's called Marcus.
So you sit on Marcus.
That name, but that is what it is called. Marcus with a K. If you want to emulate my life, go and buy one if you want.
And then write Marcus on the back in chalk and talk to it occasionally.
I talk to it, of course I do. It supports me through the day.
Literally and figuratively supports you through life. Well, that was a strange and banal intro. How about some games talk, why not?
Oh, God.
Loads of updates this week, starting with Knights of the Old Republic, which now supports your iOS controllers, of which there is about one decent one, the Steel Series Stratus. That's the one that's quite good. All the other ones are a bit crap at this point, let's be honest. But if you do happen to have a good one, you can now play it on your iPhone, because it came to iPhone recently too, as well as your iPad if you've got one of the Bluetooth ones, because the other ones, they don't wrap around the iPad, because they usually have a clamshell thing or a grip that fits around it, and it never fits the iPad. Also, you can now do cloud saving on it, so you can switch your saves between iPhone and your iPad and whatever at the flick of a switch, if indeed iPads and that had switches. At the tap of a screen, that should probably be, so you can go ahead and do that. Real Racing 3 has also been updated, yet again, with car customization. You can now pimp your ride, if that is a thing that you still enjoy doing, outside of the late 90s when pimping your ride was a thing that you did. You can also have some Aston Martin action now too, so you can pretend you are James Bond while pimping your ride.
Lucky Aston, lucky Martin.
Is that a, I don't even know, is that a joke? That's not a joke, is it? That's just words. It's just words, Peter. And also you can share photos as well, if you want to. I don't know if that's, I assume that's photos of your cars, like glory shots that you take and then send to people and say, look at my car, isn't it beautiful? What else you got? Assassin's Creed Pirates has been updated and it's now got whales, which is clearly what was lacking from the game. Although our editor Mark is on record as saying that the whales are his favourite bit of Assassin's Creed 4. On the PS3, you've got that, haven't you? On the PS4, rather.
Yeah, PS4, mate.
You've got it on that. And have you been whale hunting?
Do you know, I actually, you don't have to do it, and I made a very deliberate effort not to do it.
I think that Mark did the same thing, but then discovered that in order to like expand your inventory or whatever, or build a bigger wallet, you have to have, gallbladders
or something.
Oh, you
absolutely do, yeah. No, you absolutely do. You either have to do that, or you have to sign up for Uplay so you can get this special item that basically does all that sort of thing. And admittedly, murdering whales is easier.
Is the more preferable of the two options.
Yeah, but I went the Uplay route because of a moral choice.
Well, you can go and do that, hunt some whales, and apparently there are now historical ship bosses, which I suppose means that you get a ship pirated by Blackbeard or something that you get to blow up.
Or Hitler.
Yeah, or Hitler. the SS Mussolini. I don't know, something like that. But yeah, there you go. That's updated. Also, finally, Deus Ex and a bunch of other Square Enix products, Deus Ex The Fall specifically, has been reduced to 99 pence or 99 cents. Mm. Not 69p. 99 pence.
We're getting stiffed, aren't we?
We really, really are, because the 99 cents is equivalent to about like 50, 60 of our Earth pennies, our British pennies. So we are getting stiffed here. But it's usually £4.99. So it's quite a significant reduction. Also, I think a couple of other Square Enix titles like Tomb Raider, the Tomb Raider 1, as it's listed on the App Store, which is so annoying to see Tomb Raider 1 listed as Tomb Raider 1. That's down to like 99 pence.
Tomb Raider
1's
just had control support added as well.
Oh, has it? Oh, well, there you go.
And I think, and nobody will listen to me on this one, but I think Deus Ex The Fall is about to get controller support, because I turned on my little controller and it came up with a whole bunch of like, press B to go back. And I was like, what? And like, I pressed B and nothing worked. And I thought, that's really odd.
I'm not going to listen to you on that. I refuse to listen to you on that.
I just didn't listen. It was great.
I have no idea what you just said.
I got in touch with Square Enix via Twitter. They were surprisingly silent. They fell silent.
Oddly cagey, yeah.
That Deus Ex game is well good, by the way.
It's all right. I quite liked it. But again, the voice acting is crap. And B, spent the time wishing I was playing it with a controller. And C, it's too short. And
it's episodic. Controls are good.
The controls are good for a touchscreen first-person shooter.
Yeah.
But in the scheme of controls, they are all right at best.
Yeah, all right.
You have to qualify. But part of the reason perhaps controller support might be on its way is because they're releasing it for Steam.
Yeah.
So that they're probably bunging in, you know, they've done the controller support now for the Steam version, so they're probably just slapping it into the iOS version as well. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, so but if you want to get it cheap, you get it now. Go on then.
Cool. Off you go.
So that X-Men movie is coming up. X-Men, the days of the past when you're in the present, looking out at the future past from the flux capacitor.
Right. I don't think that's what it's called.
There's probably something catchier than that. I don't know. Yes, the new X-Men movie is on its way. I think it's coming out in May. And they've just announced the official mobile tie-in, which is inevitable with these films, right? We all know that they do movie tie-ins with and release a computer game, and generally it is crap. That's the rule. This time, however, I'm slightly more interested because they've tapped Glitchsoft to develop it. These are the guys behind that He-Man Most Powerful Game in the Universe game.
Oh,
remember that? And that was quite good.
Yeah.
It was a really good, fun, stocky, cartoony, side-scrolling brawler thing. And it wasn't like the most original game in the world, but it was fun and playable and entertaining. And according to the press release, X-Men is going to follow suit. Same sort of genre. A 2D side-scroller with a focus on story. So I presume you're going to be, Wolverine and Kitty Pryce, who's the lassie who features squarely in that arc. Have you read the arc, the 1980s-ish, Days of Future Past? Anybody?
Well, I mean, that was mainly aimed at me, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was. I wasn't talking to Keith, obviously.
Yes, I have.
He doesn't play games. He certainly hasn't read a comic.
Which is that the one where the Sentinels start?
Yes, that's the one where Sentinels appear.
Is it the one with the cat that eats lasagna?
You are...
Just to read that one.
Beyond it.
It's the one with Charlie Brown and the dog that sleeps on top of his doghouse.
Oh, no,
that was the best X-Man ever. It's the one, I mean, it was ages ago since I read it, but it's a thing about Kitty Pryce travels back from the future and finds herself in the body of her younger self, and she's being mind-controlled and all this.
When you say that, I hear Katie Price, and I'm just thinking of Jordan.
Is it Kitty Pryde? Mm. Is that her name, did you say?
Yeah, that's right.
Kitty Pryde. Isn't she something to do with Wolverine in some way?
Yeah, I think she's Wolverine Squeeze at one point, I remember. Right. I forget. It's been a long time. They were Days of Future Past, so... I wish I hadn't said that. That was the worst. Yeah. So it's coming out, we suspect, in May. Obviously, these things come out around about the same time as the movies hit. So I expect to see it in May. And like I say, I wouldn't care that much. They've released a nice teaser image, which is very nice, kind of a recreation of the original cover from that comic book arc with Wolverine kind of protecting Kitty Pryde against a backdrop of a kind of Most Wanted poster on the back there. It's kind of the right genre for this kind of game, I reckon, because when you look at the Scott Pilgrim game, that's another example. Yeah. That's how you do a movie tie-in. It fits the genre. It fits the tone of the movie. It was all pixel art and old school. And obviously the movie itself was kind of about video games and pop culture from the 80s and stuff, 80s and 90s. So it kind of fits well. So with any luck, this might be good and not total crap. However, the thing I'd like to talk about now is...
Flappy Bird?
Thanks for saying it for me, because
I just found like you were having trouble there, and I just thought, got to say it, because...
Help me out, yeah. But with a specific angle on this, we done a story this week, specifically Mark did a story, in which he went full on research mode.
I know, journalism.
So he got out his little magnifying glass, and he got out a few test tubes, all of which were... contained brightly coloured nondescript liquids. Yeah. And that one which has the little twisty see-through tube that comes out of it. You know the one? With a beaker that's got bubbles in it.
Oh yeah, I like them.
Yeah, that's research, bitch. So he done his research, right? And he's discovered, and many people have picked up on this since, that there is a Flappy Bird clone released onto the App Store roughly every 24 minutes.
Now, sorry, hold on. Do you say minutes?
Yes. So every 24 minutes, one hits the App Store. So that kind of hits an average of between 50 and 60, 70 a day.
Yeah. Apple were clamping down on this, of course. So,
of course they were. They said they were removing anything with the word Flappy in it, and which may be a bit of a problem because most of them don't have the word Flappy in
it
anymore.
Damn those clever developers.
I know. How did they get around their foolproof system? Yeah. Which is kind of... crazy. I mean, I guess it speaks to a few things. Firstly, obviously everyone's just trying to ride on the coattails of the success of a game. That's what clones mostly do, and that's not surprising, because everyone wants to hopefully fill the void, and even though there's an absolute deluge of them, if you happen to be the one that everyone said, oh, this is a great replacement, everyone get this, then, you know, you might make a ton of cash. So there's obviously that incentive. But I do find it ever so depressing.
Why? I'll tell you what's bizarre is that I've had several emails in the last week where they email a journalist and say, here's a Flappy Bird. They openly say, here's a Flappy Bird.
I've had numerous ones myself. They take one of two tacks. They either, like you say, go, oh, this is a clone. Or the other angle is, hey, we know you're sick and tired now of hearing about Flappy Bird clones, but... here's my Flappy Bird clone.
I took one up that was sent by PR, actually. I wouldn't have done it if it had come straight from the developer, but I thought PR should know better than this, really. And I sent a reply to the person involved saying, I'm not sure what kind of reaction you think you're going to get from journalists sending this out. They're not going to you know, well, they might do, but they might write something incredibly disparaging. I said, you're likely to do more harm than good. I said, you'd be better off, if you really want to do this, just going straight to people, because you're just going to get nothing but negativity from websites. But, I mean, that person was, yeah, well, that's great, I'll take that on board. But, I find it weird that we're a couple of months on now, really, and this is what everyone is still making, and then they... If I did something like that, I'd almost want to hide it. You know, it's like,
what, have you done a clone?
Because the play was so intentionally one dimensional. There's nothing really else you can do with it. Essentially, all you're doing is reskinning it and getting the physics wrong.
And missing the kind of sweet spot that people had for it.
And then rushing out to journalists and saying, "Look what I've done!" You know, and you think, what do you think they're going to say? It's such a weird, you know, they never go, "Oh my god, that's great! I must write about that right now."
Everyone, we're never going to give them anything but snark, essentially. Anything but like, "Oh god, another one of these things." And Mark's listed a whole bunch of them. I don't really want to name them here because I don't want to give them advertising, but there is a list, and he's like just given a whole bunch of screenshots, just like, here's 20 that were released in the last 24 hours kind of thing, and posted them all up. And they have a lot of different tacks, so you've got ones that are kind of just birds flapping through pipes, exactly the same as the original, but then you've got loads of novelty ones, so it's like a little man on a jetpack, or it's a picture of like Jackie Chan's face, or it's a little robot, or it's Justin Bieber's head, or whatever. Just like loads and loads of variations, one with Slender Man here flying through pillars, but all doing exactly the same thing. And I don't know, it's just, I do find it depressing. You seem surprised when I said that, Peter.
Well, I mean the more we write about them, and I get the feeling that we're not really going to be doing a lot of that.
No,
and I'll be talking of one that I will make an argument for is a Flappy Bird clone later on. Okay. But you know, the more we write about them, the more that people are going to continue to play them. Or maybe we're completely off our own heads, and actually this thing is still popular for a damn good reason. Maybe people still are all about that Flappy Bird thing. Like, what, in an alternative universe, I wonder if our pal Dong had like kept the game on the store, I wonder whether or not it would have died down by now, or whether like users would actually still be playing it and finding quite a great deal of enjoyment out of it. The last time this sort of fever happened, this sort of thing, you know, sort of caught on, was when we had stuff like Draw Something. You know, like that was the last time that people were like really super excited in this way, and every, you know, it was the zeitgeist. And it feels like the game's been taken away from people like a little bit early, and maybe that's why people are sort of jumping on it now, you know. And also, I suppose clones aren't really a... You see loads of clones of all sorts of stuff all of the time. Like, you need only type in, you know, Final Fantasy into iTunes, and you end up with all sorts of rubbish.
That's true.
So you like Final Fantasy. Yeah.
Life of, all right, chill out. Chill out, Kate. We all know
that you're racist against Japanese. We all know that.
We all know. But it's, you know, I do understand that, you know, the cloning has hit this ridiculous level where it's every 24 minutes. That is important. That's exciting. And a news story, definitely. It's really cool. It's a really cool article Mark put together. But, like, the fact that there are clones, I don't think is a...
Well, anytime anyone releases something that's clearly a direct copy of something else with nothing to add, really, it just feels like shouting into the void, you know? It's that sort of, well, congratulations, you've done what someone else did and just copied it identically and then tried to make money off it for yourself.
But then there's been all sorts of successes where that's happened. Like, you look at something like, let's look at Guiana Sisters, for example. Like, that was a wholesale ripoff of Mario Brothers. Yeah. You know, and that did fantastically well, simply because it was something that, it was on a platform where that game wasn't available, and it mimicked it perfectly.
Well, that's the Game Loft approach. That's what they've been doing for
well, yeah,
forever
exactly.
Now.
So again,
and we don't, you know, and I don't rate Game Loft either.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I think
talented
Game Loft
though
games,
they may be, I think it's a bit sad that that's all they do.
I think Game Loft titles like vary in quality, definitely. But there are some, but you know, like for example, Asphalt 8, like that is Burnout 3, but I can't get that on my mobile phone, and it's done really well for them. Like, I guess my larger point is, until we get like all of these big game series coming over to the App Store, like you're going to end up with lots and lots of these clones anyway.
And that's true. This one lived on the App Store in the first place, though. And I don't mind cloning so much, or cloning inverted commas. I don't mind people being inspired by and taking stuff from other games, because that's what everyone does. Everyone's inspired by a previous game and sees a first-person shooter and goes, oh, I can do something of my own with that. But then you have to take it and make it your own and iterate a little bit. You got to like add something to it or change it up a little bit. And
They've added Justin Bieber.
Oh, you're right. I stand corrected.
Come on.
It's a brilliant idea. I'm going to go and download Flappy Bieber's face right now.
I'm not so bothered about the clone stuff. I mean, it's always going to happen. Mm. Although I find the mentality of it strange in that there are already 7 million of these things. And so if you're a developer, you think, what am I going to do today? I'm going to make Flappy Bird clone. What? Are they going into that thinking, oh, well, this will definitely be a massive hit. This is clearly my big breakthrough. And then if it was a big hit and their name is attached to it, what exactly do they think that will do for their rep? You know, as it were, I find it really hard to understand. And then PR as well, think, oh, I'm going to put out this press release. It's going to do an amazing job for this game because I'm going to say, it's a Flappy Bird clone. Don't you want to write about this? You think, I don't understand them what they think. Goes, you know, it's just a weird mentality to think that this is something that is going to work and somehow benefit them. You know, there's so many of these things, it would be incredibly weird if one of them in particular. I mean, I think Splashy Fish or whatever it is, Splashy Fish of all of them appears to have the one that's hung around. But even that, you know, it's not at Flappy Bird levels. And it would be really weird if you did have so many of these, 60 a day, and one of them particularly took off more than the others.
I quite liked Flaming Squid. Flaming Squid was good. Squeaky Giraffe, that was quite a good one, because the neck's very long and it makes it really difficult to go through the pipes. And then there was Grumpy Badger. He didn't even go off the ground at all. He just walked because he's like so pissed off.
It's a challenge. The next one I get, I should ask them why they're doing it, just to see what they say.
Yeah, and then say stop.
Maybe the reason all this cloning stuff's happening is because it's so bloody easy to put the thing together. Like, you can, you know, you can get a version of it that you can put your own art assets into it for, what was it, $40-$50? Some guy was selling them for on something.
And even Dong himself coded it apparently over a couple of evenings by himself.
Exactly.
So I guess it's not much of a time investment.
I wonder what Dong's doing. I would love to. Do you know, I would love to interview him.
Yeah, apparently he was well awkward. When they did the interview with him, I think one place got it. I don't know if it was Forbes or the New York Times or something, Wall Street Journal. Someone got an exclusive interview with him, and the way they described it just said that he was, like, massively awkward through the entire thing, like, barely looked at him, like, in the corner of the room, tapping, and I guess freaked out by the whole thing, because that's what was projected at the time, that he seemed obviously worried, and that's why he took it down, yada yada. But I don't know, I'm sort of sick of the subject. People, I mean, there's the suggestion, like, I should do some Flappy Bird videos. I already did one when it was happening, when it got taken off. I did one that evening, but I don't really want to do anymore. I just don't want to add to the noise. We're all sick of it. Let it die. Out and about this week, loads of good stuff. First off, episode 2 of The Walking Dead has just appeared on iOS. It's called A House Divided, and it picks up the story of Clementine wandering around the zombie-filled world with bad things happening to everyone. All reviews have been very, very strong for this one. Our Rob, as he's known, we gave the first episode a 7 out of 10 and said, like, it's a good start, but it's a bit short, and you're losing a bit of the relationship core that made the first series so strong. It wasn't really as present in the first episode, so he was like, good place to go. Apparently this one, though, is a cracker. I think he's given it 9 out of 10. Loads more emotional heft, loads more content, really kind of hits the ground running second time out the door. So go and grab that. I mean, if you're buying them individually, they're £2.99 or $4.99, or you spend £10.49 or $14.99 on the season ticket. And really, which saves you a bunch of money. And really, if you're playing one or playing two, you're going to have to play through to 5. It's an episodic thing. There's no point in just playing episode 3 and that's it. because it won't make any sense. So, you know, grab the season ticket if you're doing it. Save yourself some dollars. And look forward to House Divided, because I hear it's good. Next one, Minds of Mars, which I'm not going to say much about because I'm going to talk about it later. I've been playing this a bunch this week with Peter, actually. Ooh. On Twitch. We're now doing Twitch, by the way. Both Pocket Gamer and AppSpy. It's kind of an AppSpy channel thing, so myself and Peter are going up and doing these Let's Play kind of videos where we sit down for an hour on a Wednesday, 5 p.m. On British time, or that's 9 in the morning if you're in the US, Pacific Standard Time. And we're going to just pick a game, like the new release on Wednesday, a good one, and then sit down and hammer it out before it comes to you on Thursday. So it's a bit of an exclusive and also a bit of a look at what you think might be good for next week. We'll also do other stuff as well based around themes, but go and check out the Twitch channel when it's on. We'll give you alerts via Twitter, but it's at twitch.tv/appspy. And check us out. We just started this week. It's quite good fun, and already people are watching, so we're delighted. And I was playing this Minds of Mars game. It's essentially it's a bit Terraria, it's a bit Junk Jack X, it's a bit Minecraft from the side, also with a kind of splash of Waking Mars involved as well, because it's beneath the Martian surface. I'll talk about it later. It's £2.99 or $4.99 right now. Another Minecraft influenced thing is Block Fortress War. Have you played any of the Block Fortress games? Because I admit that I have not.
No. They're sort of Minecraft tower defense?
Yeah, kind of. In this instance, it's like more like a real-time strategy game. But it does look very Minecraft. You see it from a third-person perspective, but it's a blocky Minecraft-esque world. The difference here is that instead of wandering around and digging tunnels and finding ore and going into realms and stuff, you're building up barracks and you're creating troops and you're trying to lay into your opposition. So you take control of a hero leader person, you equip and upgrade your helper troopers, you take control of choke points, build turrets, defensive walls, and then try and smash your enemy's base to bits. There's a video up on the site, the first play is up. I think the review will be up by the time this goes live, and I think it's, again, pretty good. It's quite good fun. It's £1.49 or $1.99, and it's Block Fortress War, so you can go check that out. Ravenous Games are back with another one of their platformers that they always do. And I would give them more hassle for it, I suppose, if they didn't do it quite so well. They knock them out at an astonishing rate, and here's the new one, Devious Dungeon, it's called. Instead of being an old-school arcade side-scroller in which you're jumping around and all that malarkey, this time it is a kind of platform RPG sort of thing. So you have to go through randomly generated dungeons, like hacking up orcs and opening crates and all that stuff. You get cash and then you spend it on armor and amulets and extra weapons. Then when you die, you get sent back to the beginning of the game. But in doing so, you unlock checkpoints every few levels so you can go back without, you know, losing all your stuff. And you get to keep your equipment and your big pile of loot. Again, I think this has been received quite positively. You can see some videos up on the site. And I would say probably about a 7 or 8 out of 10, possibly, for this one.
We're guessing scores now. Okay.
No. I've seen people doing reviews for it.
You've seen them?
Oh, yes. I see. I'm behind the curtain.
You need to stop looking through people's windows.
I wouldn't have to stare quite so hard if they didn't keep putting curtains up. Sure. Then I have to like peer around, and it makes it really awkward.
Then you have to break in. I know how this goes.
I know, and
we've all been there.
That keyhole-shaped thing on my eyeball, where I've had it pressed up against it, that you see in 70s bawdy comedies. So, Devious Dungeon, you can grab that now. I think it's about 69p or something. Oh, actually, the predictions are wrong. I've just gone and clicked on Mark's review. Mark's given it a 5. He says it's woefully simple, that quickly becomes nothing more than grinding for money and levels. Ooh.
Oh, dear. Well, get you.
An audio retraction.
Should we re-record that whole bit? I predict it's going to score badly.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. I predict the same thing. Oh, look. It's gotten a 5. Our predictions are true. Well done, us. Video game journalism, ladies and gentlemen. Devious Dungeon, get it right now. Another one, Smash Hit, which I have seen running. This is a kind of weird game. It's like a first person floaty smash-em-up thing. What you are, you're drifting through these corridors, right? And while sort of atmospheric ambient music kind of trills along in the background. Ah,
have you taken something?
No, but the people who made this game maybe have. And you tap the screen and silver balls go flying out and smash into stuff. And the idea is you're supposed to just smash everything on the screen, mostly things that are blocking your path. So imagine you're floating down a little corridor and there are glass bars across and you have to tap it, they smash through the bars, and it allows you to pass through them unscathed.
It's a bit like the riots then, essentially, is that what you...
If you're a camera floating through space and you were rioting in a small glass corridor.
Well, you know, that is Manchester in a nutshell, yeah.
That's true. Yes, yeah, so it's almost exactly like that then, Keith. It's quite pretty. It's got a kind of laid back, nice... It's weird to say it's weirdly atmospheric, even though it's all about smashing things to bits. It's quite sort of ambient and chilled out. It's the kind of thing that you'd play at like 1:30 in the morning once you know, waiting for the bus to take you home from the club.
He seems to like smashing glass traffic cones. There's lots of those.
Traffic cones, another thing you bring back at 1:30 in the morning after visiting the club. Yeah.
The club.
Yeah, you know the club.
You see me in the club, smashing at the cones.
What's good about that, you see, is that your Skype recording cut out for me slightly there.
Yeah,
made
he
me sound
did,
like
he
a robot.
A Dalek when he did that.
So it sounded even more robotic and awful.
He sounded like he was been auto-tuned.
Yeah, I sound like 50 Cent, the Transformer.
And if you twist his arms and move his leg back and twist him inside out, he turns into a good rapper.
No, that never happens.
No, it's true. Whoa. It's never. Yeah. Okay, so smash it. You can grab that right now as well. I think it costs some money. Let me check how much money. No, it doesn't. It doesn't cost any money. It's free.
You should work in a shop.
I know. I'm the best. Everything's free, guys. or it costs at least some money.
Some
how much money?
Money?
I don't know. Some money. Just what you got in your pocket. That'll do. Brilliant.
You're a good model. Why doesn't anyone do that?
I know. Free to play should catch on everywhere. Free to buy. Free to shop.
Just whatever you have on you. Yeah.
Yeah. A pair of old shoes, a bit of lint at the bottom of your pocket, that'll do. Another game. This I've played very briefly. There's a bit on AppSpy, a video up on the channel. You can see me playing it and mostly screaming, to be honest with you. It's called Wave Wave. And Peter's going to talk about this one a little bit later, so I won't spoil it too much. But it's a Twitch side-scrolling thing that's, let's say, strongly influenced in style by a certain game with hexagons in it.
Mm-hmm.
Hexagons which may or may not be super. And perhaps there's an influence, or at least a similarity, with a more recently released game that we may have already talked about.
Ooh.
Don't know, spoilers. It's £1.99, $2.99. Wave Wave. We'll come back to that in a bit.
Wave Wave.
Another one. Is that like Sega? Usually you're like, Sega. And this time it's a wave, wave.
Wave, wave.
Okay, Eats Munchies, which if you're a PC gamer, you may recognise. It's a physics puzzler game that's come from Steam and is now out on iOS. I don't know if it's come to Android, might be. Not sure. It's £1.99, $2.99. And what you have to do is guide a little character to an exit by moving around objects on the screen. So it's a 2D platformer sort of thing, and you've got to get your guy to the exit. In order to do so, you have to move things around, like, you know, bridges and move obstacles out the way and open doors and, you know, get move planks about and all that sort of stuff. But apparently once you get past the simple stuff, you have to get whales that suck you in and out.
Pardon?
That sounds bad, I know. But no, you get whales, like the creatures, and then they go, suck you in, and they go poof, and fire you out, so that'll rocket you across the stage, you see. If you run into an onion, you might get sad and you'll be unable to jump. Does that never happen to you?
No.
You're about to get on a bouncy castle.
I've always been able to jump, mate, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you
mean. No, I don't know.
Just keep saying vowels.
Banters,
exactly. And if chilies, for example, eat a chili and you'll go mental and start jumping really far. Has that ever happened to you, Peter? You eat a chili, you jump
in the club, chilies, banters.
Nice, good, good. Oh, I've got the level of
WKD.
Discourse is... Oh my.
It's all gone 2004.
It has a little bit. The graphics on this one are fantastic. They kind of maintained the good looking art style that you got on the PC and the Xbox version as well. So it's a bit of a good looker. We haven't got the review up yet. Might be all right. £1.99, $2.99. Eat Munchies. That's EETS Munchies. Finally, Knock Knock's coming out. I've had half an eye on this because it's a sort of side-scrolling survival horror kind of game in which you play hide and seek with demonic ghosties. Our guy, like Chris Priestman, one of our writers on Pocket Gamer, he really liked it. I've seen some reviews that have been less favourable for the PC version. People said it was a bit meh.
That's a low word count, that review.
I know, but concise. You know, you deliver your message. It's kind of, that's good criticism. It's £2.99 or $4.99. The art style's really, really nice. That's what drew me to it. You're the kind of the kid with a candle walking through the house looking decidedly freaked out while horrible apparitions appear all around you and try and drive you Cthulhu loopy. So I thought lots of promise, but the jury's out on this one. Maybe wait for a review. £2.99, $4.99. Knock, knock.
Who's that?
Lols.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Right, we're going to go into the chamber wherein lies the throne of games, but first of all, Peter's going to shill some stuff.
Yay! Why is it always down to me? I don't know why this is.
Because you were the one they bought, Pete. That, you know, you were the one who sold his soul.
Exactly, for an IKEA sofa that never arrived.
Never arrived. The ghost sofa. Guess what, guys? What's really important to us is ratings and reviews on the iTunes store. I know that we every once in a while sort of go, hey, you could be really good if you could go and do this. It really is important to...
I'm going to start awful, doing that more often.
Yeah, like...
In a really whimpery voice.
It really is important to us and our podcast on iTunes, like, in terms of placement and new people seeing it, if you rate and review us and, you know, leave us a good sort of five-star review. So if you don't do anything that we ask you to do, if those higher-ups, those boss-types people, Joao with the lovely voice, if you don't listen to what he wants you to do through me, then that's understandable. But if you do like listening to this podcast, then best thing to do is go to iTunes and leave us a quick review. It takes like 2 minutes, and it means that more people find us because the podcast is getting really big recently.
Yeah, well, it's been lovely. We know you're listening because obviously we can track the stats of it, and we know that there are...
We know where you live.
Exactly. What you're wearing. And
James is at your window right now.
Exactly. And A, you're gorgeous, and B, that cardigan, it doesn't really suit you, sorry. You know, so maybe take it off.
That old line. Then,
Peter's actually quite right, because we don't generally do that thing where we say, hey, go and rate our podcast at the end of every episode, because it's kind of annoying. We don't want to be that kind of pleading for votes and stuff, because it's icky and it's horrible and you don't want to hear it. But in truth, it would be lovely, properly lovely, if anyone who's listened to this could find the time to go and do it. Because we know you're out there in your thousands, because we've got the stats. But we understand that it's a bit of a pain in the ass, frankly, dealing with iTunes and all that crap. But
honestly, isn't it?
If you found it in your hearts at some point this week or whatever, just pop in there and go, oh, it's all right, and yeah, it's not too bad, and here, have some stars.
Plus,
we'd love you.
If we don't get one new review a day, they hit Pete with hammers, don't they?
Yeah, basically, my knees really hurt. And basically, reminder. So, games, I've been playing them. So, I've been playing Wave, and it's...
Wave.
And it's...
Bye-bye.
do you know what? I took some old antihistamines earlier on today, and they are really going to my head.
You think they've fermented over time?
Something's really, really...
They've turned into Quaaludes.
I've been bunged up for like 2 weeks.
I know you have,
you dirty bitch.
You've been a snotty son of a...
I can't figure out what's wrong. And I've been taking, I think, gone off antihistamines. I feel awful. Anyway.
Wave.
This is gonna make for a really good conversation in IKEA. So Wave is a Flappy Bird clone, except for, of course, it isn't, because as James, you were telling me earlier, it's been in development long before Flappy Bird. But if you think of it in that way, then we can skip over some of the play details, which actually are quite simple, so we won't skip over them at all. So essentially, you control a line that is moving along a screen, and if you tap and hold onto the screen, you move the line up, and if you let go, it falls back down automatically, and you need to navigate that line through an environment made out of triangles. Very attractive, very minimal, very colourful triangles at that. That's kind of like the main mode. There's also another mode in which you have to avoid obstacles, but yeah, that mode's not where it's at. The main mode is absolutely where all of the competition is going to be. So you're moving this line along, and if you touch one of the triangles in the environment, then you lose. It's game over. And you keep going for as long as you can, and there's a timer ticking along, and it's essentially who can survive the longest. You can actually artificially add to that timer by wiggling the line really quickly, by tapping really quickly on the screen. If you do that, I believe you enter something called time mode, or
it's that black and white mode, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a black and white mode, almost like a pre-Atari, sort of like a Binatone Pong clone look, where it's sort of white and black, but skewed, very much like you're playing it through an analog signal and it's all gone a bit wonky. So again, there's this risk-reward thing whereby you should be sort of going up and down and very rhythmically moving through this environment. But if you do the wiggle, then you get more time added, and that's sort of, you know, a bonus if you're competing with your friends. And competing with your friends is absolutely where it's at. Online leaderboards, game center, you know, it's got all that good stuff. It's super, super hardcore. So it is actually kind of like that Flappy Bird kind of approach, and it's also really quick. In fact, it's even snappier than Flappy Bird. It's like there's no menus loading ads and all this sort of thing and pulling other data. Like, if you want to play again, it's you slam your finger on the screen, you're like, yeah, one more go. And you're off again. It's very much inspired by Super Hexagon in so much as it's got this really grungy, filthy 16-bit almost soundtrack, like chiptune soundtrack to it. The menus even are really reminiscent of Terry Kavanagh's, his opus.
Yep.
It has that timer mechanic to it as well, whereby you're going to compete and compare and contrast with your friends. It's like a hardcore Flappy Bird mixed with Super Hexagon, and is very just really tightly designed. The controls work really well, very responsive, very quick, super easy to understand. Lots of different levels and modes. There's a specially constructed level mode where essentially you can move through non-randomly generated environments and see how far you can get through it. And then you can speed everything up by going from waverist or whatever. You know, lots of different speed modes, so there's loads of different things to test how good you are and your mad skills. At time of recording, I'm currently the third best player in the world of Wave Rotate, I think.
Really?
It is.
Are you?
Something like that, yeah. Third.
Oh,
third,
you're going down, Willington.
I know, right?
Because I played this for the Let's Play video, and it's my shortest Let's Play video ever. It's about 4 minutes, because it's mostly just me going, I'm playing Wave, and just like trying not to die, because I started up, like, played it for 30 seconds and then just pressed record, and I immediately loved it. But all the visual style is ripped wholesale from Super Hexagon, because right down to like the geometry based of thing of it all, the fact that it's constantly pulsating along with the music, the screen also shifts and changes perspective to mess you up as you're going from like left to right, rather than just staying on a flat 2D plane. Suddenly the camera will swing around and it'll be going sideways, or it'll swing around and it'll be looking at it like squintily from the side, so that you get a sense of perspective where you're suddenly in the distance. It completely messes with you all the time, and that's exactly what Super Hexagon does, where and then sometimes it will pulse and sometimes it will stay still and the camera will move around.
The thing that I found that was a little bit strange was I found the boss mechanic a little bit odd, in that you would get to a certain stage in, certainly this is the case in Rotator Wave, where you come up against like a nuclear bomb or something like that, and if you don't beat it, you get zero score.
Right.
And it's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. Just to confirm, I am number 3 in the world on Rotator Wave, and I am on the main mode, which is Random Wave. That's the one that we're all competing on, I would imagine. I am number 5. I'm 5th in the world.
Man, you're so going down.
I know. 50. And to put that into perspective, how bitty and bite-sized the whole thing is, I still haven't broken the 60-second mark.
Which was the magic number for Super Hexagon as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I'm drawing a huge list of similarities here.
It is quite similar.
I'm not that cross at it, because again, this is what we were saying before with the Flappy Birds clones. It ties neatly back in. It's okay to be inspired by something, take that idea, and then do something slightly different with it. And that seems to be what this is. It's taken the aesthetics, it's taken the kind of like old school retro charm of it all, the pulsing geometry, the bright colours, the soundtrack, all that idea, But instead of doing just another game and reskinning it, it's a different game. It's just, like you say, more side-scrolling, Tiny Wings, Flappy Bird sort of thing. But it's been done with loads of like polish and class. So yes, it is a blatant, blatant ripoff. But I played it, and within like 60 seconds, I was having a great time.
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? It's funny, like we're willing to forgive certain things and not others, like for doing roughly the same sort of thing. Like if this was bad, I would be absolutely kicking it to death.
Yes,
for having,
that's true.
It looks very Super Hexagon in its menus, I would argue, and in its audio, and in its wider gameplay structure, but not its actual construction. If you know what I mean.
Sure.
But yeah, because it's good, it feels like it's an homage, rather than if it was bad, it would be a clone.
Yeah. How much is it? Do you know? It's like, I think it's £1.99. I think it's not super cheap.
$1.99, something
like
that. Like,
$2.99.
I mean, it's not so prohibitively expensive as to be like a redonkadonk.
Okay. That's a category I wasn't previously aware of in terms of pricing structure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good to know. All right, then. So, I'll see you on the battlefield.
Okay.
Bitch. Nice. All right, then. I'm going to talk about Mines and Mars. We're going to slightly skip over Keith this week, aren't we, Keith?
Slightly skip over me?
Yeah, well, apparently you haven't done a
game. I haven't played any games. I've been to Huddersfield. What the hell do you think I've been doing?
No, travelling.
Do you know how far Huddersfield away is from Manchester? It's at least 23 minutes.
Exactly. Plenty of time in which to play a game on your phone.
That's 46 minutes.
Oh, I forgot.
There and back.
You've got a Windows phone, haven't you?
Oh. Yeah. Have you know? We've just got FIFA 2009, so, you know.
Have you played it?
No.
Well, shut up then.
We're catching up.
2009, really? Awesome, nice. Yeah, so I'm afraid we're jumping straight to me this time, but this is cool. Mines of Mars, right? I mentioned it earlier. It is essentially, take Terraria, which is that side-scrolling Minecraft-type game that was originally created on PC. So a block craft 'em up, but done in two dimensions. And then throw in a bit of Junk Jack X, which was kind of the same thing, only created specifically for iOS. And then take Waking Mars, which was that excellent game from TigerStar, which came out, I think, last year, in which you play as a scientist with a jetpack who's flying around caverns underneath the Martian surface, collecting plants and stuff. Smush all them together, and you've basically got Mines of Mars. It is not a pixel art game like Terraria or Junk Jack X. It's a really nice-looking, side-scrolling exploration game in which you go around beneath the surface of Mars, as before. It's all dark, you can't see very much, light emits from your little dude, and you fly around with a jetpack. And you land, and obviously you got a mining pitchfork, because apparently we're in space and we've mastered space travel, but we haven't developed anything more impressive than an iron pickaxe at this point, which I thought was odd, but whatever. So you start with your iron pickaxe, and yep, you start tapping away at blocks, mining away, trying to get your ore and your silver and your gold and your crystals and your opals and everything. And then what you do is, once you've gathered a few of them, you fly up to the surface, and on the surface, in the overworld, you go through a little transporter and arrive there. There are a bunch of different buildings, and each of these buildings is a refinery, essentially, which does a different task. So you take your raw ore to the refinery, and you tap your thing, and it spits out a bunch of nice iron ingots or something. So it refines it into a nice usable form. Or if you take the opals, it will refine them, and they come out as nice, lovely-looking gemstones. You then take those gems, and you go to the crafting area, and then you can build stuff. So in this case, you can build yourself a better pickaxe, get a bronze one, get a gold one, or whatever. You can develop technology that allow you to, for example, travel deeper into the surface, because the further down you dig, the hotter it gets. And it'll eventually reach a point where it's too hot, because you're too close to the center of Mars, to actually go any further. So you need to upgrade your heating insulation stuff so you won't get all burned to death, which is good. You can upgrade your weaponry, because you will have to do so as you encounter beasties. There are weird beasties beneath the surface of Mars. Oh, yes. Occasionally, I encountered a couple of like space frog-looking things, which were fairly kind of benign. They just hopped about, but I shot them anyway, obviously. And then I wandered into this area, and suddenly this gigantic two-legged red thing, like big alien, came hurtling towards me and absolutely mashed me up and killed me. It came out of nowhere. But it was quite cool, because, you know, I wasn't expecting it, and it was one of those nice, like, panic! There's also this kind of, not terraforming area, but there's a lot to explore. It feels a little bit more directed than, for example, your Minecraft, your Terraria, which is one of the things I actually liked about it. I get a bit lost in those games. I like a narrative. I like to feel there's a point beyond just, I'm going to build a bigger house, and then I'm going to build an even bigger house with another floor. And I mean, that's fun, and there's that nice Lego quality to it where you can do what you want, but I do like games with a purpose, where I feel like I'm getting somewhere. And this seems to have, like, a loose purpose. You're getting radio contact from these guys on the overworld who are talking to you. There's a little droid who's helping you out, and there are other droids you discover underground as you keep tunneling. You encounter these nasty aliens, and there are these strange kind of markings, these odd blocks. For example, one of them's got an eye on it, and we hacked away the block above it and we stood on it, and suddenly the whole cavern started shaking. All the blocks fell away and revealed this gigantic kind of monolith standing there in the background, and it opened up this series of antechambers which we flew into, and that is where I discovered the big, nasty, two-legged red thing, which killed me. But it was kind of a neat discovery. I wasn't expecting it. And it kind of, again, came from nowhere, and I was like, oh, this is exciting. So there's a really nice sense of discovery that I got from it that I think was more impactful, because I felt like there was a purpose to it all, rather than just random events happening randomly. The criticism was I found the controls a little bit fiddly. You fly around with the left side of the screen, just put your thumb on the screen and move around, and you'll fly around. You control your jetpack if you just push up. And it's a little bit loose, a little bit awkward, but it's not game-ending or anything. It's fine, you get used to it. And the same thing with the aiming on the other side of the screen. You use your right thumb to put your finger on the screen, and then you automatically start shooting, and you drag it up and down to shoot. It's doesn't feel as smooth or perfect as I would like, but it's fine, it works. And a lot of it's very slick, apart from a couple of things where I noticed some weird spelling mistakes and grammatical errors, if I'm being really finicky. But beyond that, the sense of exploration I got, I was enjoying it more than when I first booted up Terraria, for example. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe you like the open world thing and you'll feel more hemmed in by this one, but I liked it. I've been enjoying it, and I'm going to be playing it more for the review. You can, A, get it now. I'm not sure how much it is, actually. £1.99, perhaps, something like that. You can watch a very short video of me playing through, or you can watch Peter and I playing through it on Twitch or on the Apps by YouTube channel. There's a full hour-long video of us playing through it. It was our first proper live stream. So there's both of our faces and the iPad screen, and you can watch us playing along.
Sounds horrific.
I know, it's horrifying.
It was very entertaining, actually.
It was fun for us, at the very least. And people joined in, I was delighted. Because I can't see what's going on. When we're doing Twitch, I'm playing the game, because I'm in Bournemouth down here with the iPad and the streaming. Peter's up in Bristol, and he's manning the chat room. So he's there filtering through all the comments and feeding back to the viewers. So it's kind of a two-man job.
I'm asking, like, ASL, you know, those sort of things.
Exactly. So I don't see what's going on. I finished the stream and then was like, so who did we get a question? And he pulled out, and there were loads of questions. People had been totally joining in. I was delighted to see. Get involved with that. Wednesdays and probably Thursdays as well. But you can see the video. Every video that we record will then get thrust onto YouTube, so you can have a look if you like and catch up with it. If you like Terraria and Minecraft and that sort of thing, I would definitely give this a look. It's the sci-fi, slightly more narrative-driven version of that. And it's pretty, and I quite liked it. So go and have a look. Mines of Mars. Right, wraps it up for this week. We're going to all run away and complain at people, except for me. I'm going to go and sit in a corner. Cry on my own. And maybe I'll cheer myself up and play Wave and beat you.
No, you won't do that.
Oh, yes, I
will. You might, you might play it, but you won't beat me.
Number one, baby. Number one. No. Oh, yes. Call the Burns unit, because you're going down.
This is getting too much for me, this trash talk. I can't really take this.
This is as macho as I get. Challenging someone on a touch-based Twitch iOS game.
You are not as good as I am.
Calm down.
I'll show you. Add the noise, boys. Right, we'll go and fight each other on the geometric digital planes. Thanks for listening, guys. See you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.